This meeting of the House Resources Committee will now come to order. It is now 1:41 p.m., Monday, March 16, 2026, in Capitol Room 124. Members present are Representative Colomb, Representative Hall, Representative Mears, Representative Sadler, Co-Chair Representative Dibert, and myself, Co-Chair Representative Freer. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum to conduct business. Please take this time to silence your cell phones for the duration of this meeting. Thank you. I'd like to thank Cheryl Cole from Records and Renzo Moises from the Juneau LIO for staffing the committee today. Today in House Resources, we'll hold a second hearing on House Bill 321 from Representative Josephson relating to state wildlife refuges. We have a sponsor blank committee substitute proposed from the sponsor. Co-Chair Dibert, do you have a motion?
I do. Co-Chair Freer, I move that Resources Committee adopt the sponsor blank committee substitute for House Bill 321, Work Order 34-1257-H as our working document.
I will object for the purposes of discussion. Mr. Meehan, please come to the testifiers table and speak to the changes in the committee substitute, and let the record reflect we were joined by Representative Ewan at 1:42 p.m. Welcome back, Mr. Meehan.
Co-chairs and committee members, thank you for the opportunity to come back. My name is Joe Meehan, staff for Representative Josephson. And would you like me to go through the proposed changes to the bill?
Yes, please.
Okay. And you'll have to pardon my voice. Hopefully it holds out here. So we have a few changes that are being proposed to the bill. First one is in Section 4. We're proposing to take out the term Katmai area and more accurately replace it with Kamishak Bay area, and that's just to clarify the location of the referenced lands and to also delete any reference to federal law or federal lands being affected, as all the lands in the proposed bill that this would address are state-owned lands. The second proposed change is in Section 6, and we're proposing to add natural habitats to the purpose statement in subsection 1, and that's just to clarify the primary purpose, which is currently in the current statute, which identifies natural habitats. That was just inadvertently left out when we were drafting. Also in subsection B, we're proposing to change the word shall to may. And that way, that would give the department the flexibility to decide when adopting regulations was appropriate.
Mr. Speaker, or Madam Chair, may I ask a question of the witness of Joe? What page? I mean, I'm looking through the big pages, trying to find section pages. If you could just list what page number these sections are, sir, that would be helpful to us.
Yeah, through the chair, Representative Sadler, are you looking at version H or N?
Hotel H, CS.
Section 6 is on page 4.
And then the third item, Section 7, which is on page 4, that would just to amend the language addressing discharge of firearms, and it's to clarify that this is not intended to put any restrictions on the discharge of firearms for hunting, fishing, or trapping. And that ultimately, really, it's just geared towards target shooting, trap shooting at access sites. And then the second part of that in subsection B would be to clarify that regulations adopted to restrict public access is simply to restrict that access to limited areas to protect public health and safety and for the safe operation of facilities. And again, the intent, the motivation for this one was to be able to close areas downrange of areas like the Rabbit Creek shooting range, which we can't have people downrange while there's active shooting going on. The next proposed change, number 4, is in Section 98.
It's on page 68.
That's page 68? Okay. And this is to add one more refuge area, the Homer Airport Critical Habitat Area, which we're proposing to rename the Beluga Wetlands Wildlife Refuge. It's to expand that area to include area lands, parcels around the Beluga Wetlands Complex. We didn't have this legal description when we first filed the bill, so we'd like to add that in at this point and consider expanding that refuge area.
Yeah, let the record reflect that we were joined by Representative Prox at 145, and then Representative Coulombe.
So on this change, it was Homer Airport Critical Habitat Area. You're changing it to Beluga Wetlands Wildlife Refuge. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Coulombe. Yes, that is correct, although originally when this special area encompassing special areas term encompassing refuges, critical habitat areas, refuges. When this one was first proposed, the name being proposed was Beluga Wetlands Critical Habitat Area. And the final bill was passed with the name Homer Airport Critical Habitat Area. So we're just proposing to go back to that original intent of acknowledging the Beluga Wetlands.
Follow up. So what is the difference in restrictions from a critical habitat area to a wetlands wildlife refuge? What's the difference?
Through the chair, Representative Coulombe, there really is no difference in the two. The current statutes have slightly different terminology in what the purpose of the area is, and our bill is proposing to actually combine those two purpose statements into one just for consistency.
Okay. So so changing the names, you're saying there's no difference in accessing the land?
Through the chair, Representative Coulombe, that's correct. Okay. Access uses would be the same as what they are right now.
Okay, thanks.
Yes. Representative Sadler?
Thank you. May I just ask a reminder which section you're referring to, the Homer Airport, which section or page?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, that's section 98.
98.
And that's on page 68, Representative Sadler.
And then continuing on, sections 99, 100, 102, those three sections, which are on pages 68, 69, and subsequent pages, looks like it might go all the way through page 73. These also pertain to the Homer Airport Critical Habitat Area, and it's to clarify existing conditions in statute on existing lands that are currently in the Critical Habitat Area that basically say that the state lands that are part of the current Critical Habitat Area can be used for airport and aviation purposes if necessary. And the expanded language here would extend those provisions to any state lands that are managed by either DNR or DOT at the airport would be under the same provisions. But those provisions would not apply to any private conservation lands that are acquired to add to the critical habitat area.
Representative Sadler?
Does the staff to the sponsor have a change sheet by chance that I could use to refer to these? I mean, I'm taking notes as fast as I can, but do you have a document demonstrating the changes in the, from the original to the CS?
Yes, we do. We have a map, which I don't know if that made it into the packets. I believe it did. There was a map for the expanded critical habitat area, or Homer Airport critical habitat area.
Both. But I'm hoping you have a document listing these changes. Otherwise, I have to do the AB or the of the bill. So, yeah, the map's nice, but I'm not sure what it refers to. So do you have a document listing the changes in prose?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler. Yes, we're actually working on a memo and new maps. It was one of the things requested at the last hearing. And so we do have a memo in works that will explain what's being proposed in each of these additional areas.
Representative Sadler, do you have this... the summary of changes?
I do not know if I do. It's been a busy time, and okay.
I'll I'll ask my staff to.
It looks like it. Yep, I do. Okay, very good. Just point to that. And when you do those maps, if you could again direct which section those are at, it'd be very good. Because, thanks. Great. Good call.
Thank you, Representative Cologne.
Thank you, Chair. So on the map, I did find the map. Can you explain what this means? That what is? I guess just explain the map for me. Trying to figure out what this. I have the summary of changes. How is this map affected by what you just changed in the bill?
Through the chair, Representative Cologne. Sure. So there's a dark, bold black line containing just state lands, state-owned lands, and that's the existing Homer Airport critical habitat area. And, of course, that long green structure is the Homer Airport. With the boundary fence, basically the existing critical habitat area follows approximately the boundary fence on the north side there. What's being proposed for additions are all the lands that are highlighted in red dashes, some of which are in darker green, and those are all privately owned by a conservation organization that is interested in donating those lands to the state. The parcels of land that are in red with blue, those are owned either by DNR or DOT. And so we're proposing all those red areas to be added to the critical habitat area. There are two exceptions to that. On the top of the map, there's an area outlined in red that's brown. That's owned by the Kenai Peninsula Borough. And then there's one parcel south of the airport that's kind of more of an orange color, and that's owned by the city of Homer. What we're proposing on that one is for those two pieces is that they would only be considered part of the critical habitat area and under critical habitat area jurisdiction if an agreement was signed with that respective municipality. So they would not lose title to that land. That would stay within their ownership. And just to point out, too, that we have a similar agreement in Anchorage with the Anchorage Coastal Wildlife Refuge and Municipality of Anchorage lands that occur within that refuge. And there's been an agreement between Fish and Game and the municipality to manage those lands. That's been in place for multiple decades now.
A follow-up?
Follow-up.
So on those yellow squares on either side of that little city Homer plot, they're pale yellow, and at the end of the runway, those look like they're private lands, so would those private lands have to have an agreement? Are these, it doesn't look like that, I guess I'm confused if that's the conservation stuff, land like the green, or are these private citizens that would have to sign an agreement as well?
Through the chair, Representative Cologne, those are privately owned properties, and they would be excluded from the critical habitat area or refuge jurisdiction. They would not need any kind of permits to do any activities on their lands as far as a critical habitat area or refuge type permit. A couple of those parcels are filled. The wetlands for them have been filled for boat storage or other areas, so they wouldn't be appropriate for acquiring into the future. It's just the darker green ones that are in private ownership and in conservation status.
Okay, thanks.
Representative Sadler, did you have a question?
I do have a question. Yeah, I always have a challenge sometimes in identifying when these subtle gradations of color. So I'm looking at the legend of this map. I see private and municipal. Private is a very almost indistinguishable yellow, and municipal is a little darker than that. You mentioned the square, the horizontal, the rectangle of the Kenai Peninsula borough land to the north of the Homer Airport. That's borough, correct?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, yes,
and
that's correct.
If you continue north of that, there is yellow. Is that private? Others, and all the land along the coast of Kachemak Bay, is that all private?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, yeah, that's all private land.
Okay, very good. Okay. And if you go to the upper left-hand corner of that Kenai Peninsula borough land, that is municipal right there?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, you're talking about the one with the kind of squiggly.
Up there. Kenai Peninsula borough land up there.
Yeah, I would assume that's the city of Homer.
City of Homer.
Municipal.
Okay. Okay.
Follow up?
And then the private land that remains on the coast between the airport and Kachemak Bay itself, that's private land. Are there efforts or are there designs on expanding the critical habitat area or the Beluga Wetlands Wildlife Refuge to right to the coastline, right to the beach line?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, no. Most of those lots have houses on them, so they'd be not appropriate for obtaining for conservation purposes.
With your indulgence, one more little one. And, sir, right down here, there's a tiny strip of what looks like municipal land. Can you keep seeing me looking at that? Up to the left of Kachemat Bay, right there, up to the points there.
Yeah. Yeah, through the chair, Representative Sadler. Yeah, municipality, the city of Homer owns tidelands in that area, so that's probably what that's representing. And I do think they own probably more tidelands than what are represented on this map.
Thanks for your indulgence.
So, new section 104, which is item number 9 on my list, that's just, again, to clarify that municipal lands that are within the proposed boundary expansion would only be considered part of the critical habitat area or refuge and under jurisdiction if that municipality, the borough, or the city of Homer agreed to do so through a written agreement. And then pretty much all the others, I skipped over number 8, section 103, and then section 5 through 117. It just is renumbering of existing sections from the previous version.
Representative Sadler?
I'm sorry, section 5 to 117, you said?
105. So my item, or my list, number 10 through 22, and number 8. They just were renumbered.
Thank you, Mr. Meehan, for going over the summary of changes. Are there further questions?
I have one.
Hold on a second. Are there further questions about the new CS? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Representative Cologne.
Thank you, Chair. So back on item number 2, when you put back in to clarify the primary purpose statement, so that is section 6. Let's see. So the purpose are to protect and preserve natural habitats, fish and wildlife populations, and areas crucial to the perpetuation of fish, wildlife, and restrict all other uses not compatible with these purposes. That seemed to be, that's kind of important, in my opinion, that you guys put that back in, because when we've been asking about whether this is decreasing access for hunting and fishing, this kind of goes into, so if it's not helpful to the perpetuation of the wildlife, why wouldn't it affect access to the lands that you're proposing?
Through the chair, Representative Cologne, I'm not sure if I understand the question, but that language specifically to restrict all other uses not compatible with the purpose, that's from the existing statute for the critical habitat areas, whereas the term natural habitats, that was in the refuges current statute. So combining the two, we basically just pulling in language from both statutes to make it one.
I guess my follow-up. I guess my question is, so, but you're expanding these critical habitat areas, and some of these areas are access points for hunting and fishing, so it just feels like with that purpose, it will affect access, unless I'm not getting that right.
Through the chair, Representative Cologne. Yes, I would say in general, designating these areas does have some implications for access. Mm-hmm. As an example, off-road vehicle use, you can't just drive your pickup truck off into the wetlands or something like that. So it's not access in itself, it's modes of access. And those are generally addressed in the management plan for the specific area. There's many of these refuge areas that Fish and Game Management Plan allows off-road vehicle access where it's appropriate, whether it's an established trail or on the beaches or wintertime. Pretty much most of these areas allow snow machine, four-wheeler use with adequate snow and ice in the winter. So it does, to some degree, affect access. But also the other part of the purpose statement, which is currently not in statute, the Section B, under Section 6, subsection B, I should say, is the department may allow hunting, trapping, fishing, subsistence activities, wildlife viewing, and so on, to clarify that the purpose of these areas is for use and public access.
Follow up. And in that section, you're changing, it was shall, but now it's may. So it's giving more latitude to the department to decide those things?
Through the chair, Representative Cullum, that's correct.
Okay.
Thanks. I just want to let the record reflect that we were joined by Representative Fields at 1:58 p.m. Representative Zather.
Thank you. thank you, Madam Chair. Explain for me, Mr. Meehan, if you could, I'm looking at between the Section 6, between the differences in version N November and H Hotel, you added to preserve natural habitats as one of the purposes of, I'm not even sure which unit this is, but what is the practical change in expanding it to preserve and protect fish and wildlife populations, and then adding preserve natural habitats? What is the practical effect of that addition?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, it is just to emphasize that the primary purpose of these areas is to protect habitats. Wildlife, fish and wildlife populations, but it's to clarify that really what these areas are protecting is the habitat.
If that were the case, following up, is the fish and wildlife populations and areas crucial to perpetuation of fish and wildlife necessary language? Could not simply preserve natural habitats be sufficient?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, it could in one sense. But also, these areas need to be managed so that they don't have significant effects on wildlife populations. Yeah. You could theoretically influence a population of fish and wildlife through means other than just habitat alteration, whether it's disturbances or I'm not sure I can come up with some other examples at the moment, but it's both for the habitats and the populations.
Right. But follow up. And the reason I ask the question is, again, a lot of this terminology, we kind of tend to think, okay, that's being set aside for animals. And we don't understand that there are certain management obligations or conditions that adhere to the specific language. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but I heard you say that including the words preserve natural habitats simply reinforces protections that are already there, or does it increase the level of protection or any aspect of fish and wildlife or habitats? Which of the two is it, please?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler. The natural habitat phrase is already in the existing statute.
Okay. So what's the change in this section again?
Well, for this version, we're adding natural habitats back into it. It was dropped out in legislative legal when they were drafting this. They dropped out the term natural habitats. And so we're just adding it back in.
I'm slipping back and forth between the things. It's kind of hard to know what's new, especially when it's repealed and reacted. You don't know which is the change. So you have to question everything. Thank you.
Representative Elam.
Thank you. I'm not sure where to direct the question, but I'm just wondering if the department is going to be weighing in on any of this, because there's a lot of really specific technical data and nuances when we start talking about maps and section markers and Latin longs of everything. And so I was just hoping to hear from the department on their opinion on this.
Thank you. We don't have anybody from the department on right now, but in a future hearing, we could potentially contact ADF&G and DNR and any other department that may be. Mr. Meehan?
Madam Chair, we have been in touch with both the Fish and Game and Natural Resources, and we would anticipate inviting them if there's a subsequent hearing to provide any feedback they may have on this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Prox.
Yes, thank you. Through the chair, I guess the same question would apply to local governments. I am actually not going to spend enough time to really understand this bill. But I'm thinking that it's going to be important to at least local governments, because they have management plans and all that. And then, all the different agencies that they have looked at this, understand it, and concur with what you're trying to do.
Through the chair, Representative Prax, I agree. And I have been reaching out to dozens of different entities, Lake and Penn Borough, Lucian's East Borough, Municipality of Anchorage, City of Homer, multiple Native corporations that represent the villages out in Bristol Bay. I have yet to contact the Kenai Peninsula Borough, but I will be doing that. They're on my list. So we have been reaching out, the City of Gustavus, so quite a few. So we hope to have letters of support from a lot of those entities, at least for the portions of this bill that might affect their areas.
Mm-hmm. And then follow up, I would suppose that other, what do we call those, NGOs, interest groups, would want to make sure that they're aware of that. So I guess we should develop a list of who we think is needed to be notified of all this and have some written assurance, if not somebody here present doing a presentation.
Thank you, Representative Prox. Co-Chair Dibert?
Yeah, as just a follow-up to Rep. Prox, have you reached out to Fairbanks North Star Borough Municipality? And then I saw Minto Flats. Did you reach out to Minto, I guess it would be? Thank you.
Through the chair, Co-Chair Dibert, I have not reached out to Fairbanks, Golden North Star Borough yet, but they're on the list. And just to follow up with Representative Prox, too, is I have been reaching out to a lot of organizations, whether they're hunting organizations, conservation groups, Refuge Friends groups, and various others. I know there have been several handfuls of support letters rolling in at some point. I don't know how many of those are from private individuals versus organizations, but we're trying to reach out to a broad group of people that would be affected or use these areas. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Representative Mears?
Thank you, through the chair, to anyone that's paying attention to this, that letters of support would be great if it went to the Resources Committee email so that it is part of the record for the bill that we get a summary of. That just makes it a lot easier to keep track of where it's going. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you, Representative Mears. Would you like to respond?
Yeah, through Chair, Representative Mears. Yeah, most of them that I've seen that have come in have gone to House Resources email address. There's been a couple, I think, that may have gone just to Representative Josephson's office, and then I've been forwarding those to the House Resources email address.
Thank you, Mr. Meehan. Representative, I've got Colomb, then Sadler.
Thank you, Chair. So on item number 3 around the prohibiting the discharge of firearms, so your change is that it's to limited areas to protect public health and safety. And it says, for example, Rabbit Creek, Anchorage Coastal Wildlife. Is there any – I don't see that those specific things are in the bill. Is there a definition of what a limited area is?
Through the chair, Representative Colomb, no, there's not. But if you look at the actual language itself, we are talking about close in a designated area within a wildlife refuge to the discharge of firearms for the purpose other than lawful hunting, trapping, fishing. And that's as close as Leg Legal was able to go without getting too specific and violating the local and specific prohibition that's in the Constitution.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any more follow-up, Representative Colomb?
Not right now.
Okay. I've got Representative Sadler and then Representative Elam.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Meehan. I'm sorry that usually I consider that special that, you know, kind of, we call it the single purpose clause or prohibition applies to individuals, but to individual refuge areas. I guess I'd like to communicate with Leg Legal to find out why if we created these facilities and these zonings and these designations of land, why we cannot specify Rabbit Creek Shooting Range. You know, it's there, and we're allowed to pass laws to do that. So I would like to understand more. what Ledge Legal's objection was to that, because like Representative Cologne, I'm concerned that limited areas, it's like basically that means wherever they think it should be. Limited, but wherever they think, and there's no limitation on that. So I would like to see limits on it and would like to understand more about that definition of why we cannot apply it specifically to the Rapid Creek shooting.
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, we can certainly have them address that in a memo and get some more clarification on that.
And I appreciate the sending stuff information to the Resources Committee. I have not as yet found any of that information here, and I hope that information is emailed out when we get it. I don't mind it coming in dribs and drabs so I can continue my work on it.
Thank you, Representative Sadler. And maybe at a future hearing, we could also have Ledge Legal on the line.
That'd be great.
To answer some of those questions. Are there any further questions on the committee substitute? Seeing none, I'll remove my objection. Is there a further objection to adopting the CS? Seeing none, the community substitute is adopted. We have invited testimony on House Bill 321 from Mr. Lynn Whitmore, president of the Kachemak Moose Habitat Incorporated. Mr. Whitmore, please put yourself on record and begin your testimony. And I apologize to the committee. I'm getting a little cold again, so if I'm speaking quietly. I know, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mr. Whitmore.
Okay. Yes, this is Lynn Whitmore. And I'm the president of Kachemak Moose Habitat, Inc., and we were originally put together by the need for a Federal Energy Regulatory Commission license for the Bradley Lake Hydro Project, and they demand that you mitigate for lost habitat during that project. We've been doing this probably close to 30 years. Originally, the Fish and Game Department asked us to concentrate around the beluga wetlands for winter habitat purposes for the Homer bench herd. And so we've been acquiring parcel by parcel for a long time, and finally I have enough contiguous property there where it's functional as quiet land. Not a lot of moose food, but during the stressful time of year when the moose are starving, they end up having to come in there and dial down and rest and not get chased by dogs and Dodge cars. So it's been a real important place. And we've been trying to manage it ourselves. There's three of us on the board of directors. That's the entire size of our organization. And the idea that we might be able to move this into state management, it makes us pretty enthusiastic for all the work we've done all those years. We're hoping the state would be in a better position for long-term management. We've had donors provide a lot of the funding to buy the property. We've had landowners give us property. We've matched grants with U.S. Fish and Wildlife. We work with the City of Homer. We work with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife. We've been doing this for a long, long time, and the idea of getting this moved over makes me pretty enthused. And by the way, I'm a hardcore moose hunter, so when you talk about habitat, that thing alone is what feeds the moose, which causes me to get involved in this because we don't have those wildlife around here if we run out of that winter browse. Expanding the Homer Critical, the Airport Critical Habitat is something that we've just dreamt of for a long time. So this is a very unique opportunity that we feel like won't come around very often. And if we rename this and call it a refuge, and we call it the Beluga Wetlands Complex, that's what all the local area entities call it. We all call it the Beluga Wetlands Complex, and we don't call it the Airport Critical Habitat. And I heard some questions about the 80-acre rural parcel that's on the northerly portion of the map there. And we went before and got a, before the borough assembly and got a sponsor within that borough assembly to move forward and redesignate those acres as critical habitat. And it was important enough that that's the first and maybe the only one where they've ever redesignated a piece of habitat. A lot of this land that we're talking about is very wet, very hard to develop. So we haven't been trying to acquire uplands. We normally just try to acquire winter browse and winter quiet land. And thank you very much. I'd be glad to answer questions if you have any.
Thank you, Mr. Whitmore. We have a question from Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Whitmore, I'm just curious. I used to fly into Homer Airport, and there's a lot of operations there. I know that the Army Guard and so forth use that as an alternate airport. I see that the conservation lands in green on our maps that would be included in the Beluga Wetlands Wildlife Refuge are pretty close to the runway. Are moose not disturbed by aircraft operations? Are there moose in this area already between the airport and the beach?
Yes. There certainly are, and they put a fence up around the Homer Airport to keep the moose off of it. That's how prevalent they've been there, and I've noticed over the years that when a moose gets really hungry, you know, he goes right through your yard, right through your garden. He goes right across the highway, and they've been living with those airplanes there for a long time. The calves grew up with those airplanes there, so I don't think that's a disturbance that's even part of an issue.
Thank you, Mr. Whitmore.
Representative Elam, did you have a question?
I did. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. I know we've had those conversations down there back when I was on the assembly. I guess my question is have you reviewed the rest of this bill as far as how the changes are for the western side of the Cook Inlet? And if you do you support those changes as well?
I do. I try to limit my expertise to this local beluga wetlands, but I think the housekeeping portion of this bill is well thought out, and I support what I've read.
If I may follow up?
Follow up.
What about the changes to the predator management over on the western side of the inlet?
I'm sorry, be specific. I may not be familiar enough with it.
It's about 80 pages or so, and so there's I apologize, I don't have the page number, but there's some verbiage that changes around the wildlife management components on the west side of the Cook Inlet for bear populations.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and so do you support that area as well, changing those management delegations?
As a hunter, I do. As a president of the local moose habitat, I probably wouldn't take a position.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there any further questions from the committee for Mr. Whitmore? Seeing none, thank you so much for your invited testimony, Mr. Whitmore. Are there any further questions on the bill? Representative Cologne?
Thank you, Chair. So you talked a little bit about the transportation, like sometimes there's limits on transportation if it affects habitat. Is that the motivation to get rid of the jet skis in Ketchikan Bay? Are they destroying habitat by doing that?
Excuse me, through the Chair, Representative Klum. The concern there, which was raised by people down on the Kenai Peninsula, is that it's a disturbance to other users because of the nature in which generally personal watercraft are used, which is typically higher speeds, quick maneuvers, and also impacts to disturbing of wildlife. Mm-hmm. I don't know that there's too much concern about actual habitat impact by going into shallow waters. I think it's more of a wildlife disturbance issue, wildlife disturbance and other user disturbance.
So with follow-up?
Follow-up.
Well, I would say the boats going in and out of there is a big disturbance as well. But I ask that because... So I'm just trying to get the intention and motivation to restrict these, whatever it is, the land, the use of the land, the access to the land. And from what I gather, the jet ski issue was more about other people, not necessarily the habitat or even the wildlife. So I didn't, I can't see how this fits with your bill. It just seems like an outside thing going on there.
Through the chair, Representative Colom. It was put in basically as another item that should be addressed for refuge, special area, critical habitat area management. A lot of these items in this bill we decided to put in based on my 25-year experience of managing the program mm-hmm. and identifying what the issues were. So it is a little bit different than just changing boundaries or, closing an area to bear hunting and some of the other provisions in there. Mm-hmm. But there was interest expressed in it. So Representative Josephson's office, we just decided to put it in there and see what kind of response it got.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, the issue of personal watercraft, a.k.a. jet skis, in Kachemak Bay has a long history, a long contentious history, and I would like to ask Mr. Meehan to kind of run through that. This is an issue that a lot of people have passionate views on both sides. My understanding is it has gone through numerous public processes and legal challenges, and those strong opinions remain. So if you could dig back into your history and kind of give us the committee a background on just what the issue has been and what the process has been regarding allowing personal watercraft in Kachemak Bay.
Through the chair, Representative Sadler.
Take a long time.
You're now testing my memory here. The issue, as far as my involvement and recollection, was in the very late 1990s. Is when concerns started to be expressed in Kachemak Bay for the potential use of personal watercraft or jet skis. And at the time, the Habitat Division at Fish and Game held public hearings. I believe they were held here in Anchorage, Homer. I believe, if I'm recalling correctly, they attempted to do them in Seldovia, but the weather didn't allow them to get over, so they did it telephonically. And open it up for public testimony. There were quite a few people in Homer. I was down there for that hearing. I was standing room only in the city council chambers there. I can't tell you in the end what the numbers were for people that were supportive of a ban or those not supportive of a ban. And that was, approximately 2000 or so when the regulation was adopted to prohibit them in Kachemak Bay, again, with a justification, impacts to other users, impacts to wildlife through disturbance was, I think, primarily what the justification for that was. That regulation was in place for the better part of 20 years or so, and then the current administration went through the administrative process to assess the need for that regulation to remain in place, and in the end opted or determined that it was not an appropriate regulation to retain in place, and the regulation was appealed. There were some organizations and people in Homer that took exception to the way the process went, and I don't want to comment on the case. I don't know the details of it, but it was more related to the process in which the regulation was repealed. The courts, I can't remember now which way it went in the courts. I think it went back and forth a couple ways. Eventually made it to the state Supreme Court, and they determined that the state followed the correct process for rescinding the regulation.
So, appreciate that. Your memory is rather impressive, sir. Appreciate that. Now, so that's kind of what concerned me, is that this is one section in a 115-section bill, which undoes a lot of work by the department, by the administration, by the courts, and kind of with a stroke of the pen, upend something. Regardless of your personal views about personal watercraft or not, it seems like those that want to use them in Kachemak Bay have gone through a process and gotten a legal determination. And I'm concerned that we would overturn that. And you're right, yeah, it does seem to be a little kind of an outlier in this bill.
Are there further questions for Mr. Meehan? All right. Well, seeing no further questions, we'll now set this bill aside for a future hearing. That completes the agenda for our House Resources Committee meeting today. Our next House Resources Committee meeting is Wednesday, March 18, 2026, where we will hear a presentation from the Interior Gas Utility. The time now is 2:26 p.m., and this hearing of the House Resources Committee is now adjourned.